Chapter 2. At 10:30 on Thursday morning, Lucy Muir stood once more on the doorstep of Gull Cottage. But this time Martha Godwin stood beside her in place of Mr. Coombe. Martha was the only cook that she had ever chosen for herself, at a London registry office on her honeymoon before her in-laws had had time to take control. They had not approved of Martha with her cockney tongue and independent spirit. But they could find no fault with her cooking, and Martha had stayed for 6 years until she had suddenly married the gardener, a silent, elderly man who lived in one of the municipal cottages and was now in charge of the local bowling green. They had no children, and it had been easy for Martha to get away. It had not been so easy for Lucy to leave her home. Where was she going and why? What? She was thinking of leaving Wychester? Absurd, ridiculous nonsense. All her friends were in Wychester. What would she do in a small place like Whitecliff? If she felt sea air would be good for the children, why not live in Whitmouth, where at least there was something going on and where her friends would come and visit her? It was partly a question of expense, said Lucy. If there were no one to entertain, there could be no money involved in entertaining. Oh, money, they said, sheering away from the subject as if it were not quite nice in Lucy to force so sordid a subject on their attention. Of course they would all like to help, but after all, dear Edwin had had the major share of poor father's estate, and darling mother's annuity had died with her. But anyway, that was beside the point. It was sweet little Lucy in a dull hole like Whitecliff that they were worried about, and wasn't she rather rushing at things? If only she would wait till next week, when Eva would be less busy, she would accompany her to Whitmouth. But Lucy, breathlessly determined, weathered the storm, and having caught the early train to Whitecliff with Martha, she collected the key of Gull Cottage from a silently disapproving Mr. Coombe at his office, and was now fitting it into the rusty lock of the blue front door.
"Could do with a lick of paint, mum," sniffed Martha, looking at the blistered, faded blueness. "Mind you don't go a-taking of it on a repairing lease. My brother, Bert, he took a public on a repairing lease, and first thing he knew, he was flooded out and had to put on a new roof."
She stood beside Lucy, square and upright, in her black cloth coat, her black toque trimmed with nodding violets, pushed back on her tightly smoothed hair. In a wicker basket, besides her needs for the night, were an apron, a bar of yellow soap, a scrubbing brush, 3 dusters, and a broom head. In her other hand, she held the broomstick and looked not unlike an Amazon, prepared to do battle with any foe, seen or unseen, and indeed the light of battle was in her keen grey eyes as Lucy, having unlocked the door, led the way into the dusty, cobweb-hung kitchen.
"Struth!"
she said succinctly, and she whipped off her hat and coat, tied on her apron, rolled up her sleeves, and proceeded to fill a bucket with water.
"Hot water's what we need," she said. "Hot water and plenty of it."
But something seemed to have gone wrong with the gas stove. Try as she and Lucy would, they could not light it. "Yes," said Mr. Coombe when appealed to on the telephone. He had rung up the gas company and the water company and the electric light company, and everything should be in order. If they rang up the gas company themselves, perhaps they would send a man out. "No," said the gas company, appealed to in turn. "They were extremely busy, and they were very sorry, but they could not send anyone up before next day at the earliest."
"Better get a Beatrice sent up," said Martha tersely. "We gotta have hot water."
"A Beatrice?" repeated Lucy in bewilderment.
"One of them there small stoves, and order a bottle of paraffin to fill it," said Martha,
as she tied her head up in a red cotton handkerchief and attacked the cobwebs on the ceiling with the broom. Yes, they would send the stove and...